All right, welcome back to another episode of Arthritic Bourbon Bikepackers. I didn't bring any bourbon today. It's a theme and a trend here.
Yeah, we're dropping the ball.
Gonna have to change the name of this thing. It's another cold day. It's been like, I know I always give the weather on here, but I feel like you need to understand why this is such a great time for us to do podcasts. The high today is 14 degrees. The low is minus 3. That's not wind chill. That's just cold temperature.
Yeah.
Although I'm looking at the forecast, it's going to be back to somewhat normal. So
yeah,
next week or more seasonably reasonable temperatures, I guess.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about the Katy Trail. Something we know and love and take for granted. I always joke about. Yep. We ride it so much that we really do take for granted one of the longest rail trails, if not, well, I guess it is technically the longest rail trail in the U.S.
Yeah, and it's confusing to me because it's one continuous, you know, trail, but the Empire State Trail is, I guess it's more of a network.
I think it says that's a network and this is a single solitary trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're kind of inching up on them a little bit if they get the Rock Island trail wrapped up. They're waiting on funding, I guess.
Yes. So. Yes. So when was this ride? We did this. We organized, I guess we should clarify, we organized a ride with you and I and a couple of friends. Mm-hmm. One of them's a local friend, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Crazy but local.
Crazy Bill.
Crazy loco.
Yes. A crazy loco Bill. And shout out to Bill if he ever listens to this.
Yeah.
And then Miguel, who is actually someone you met on the internet, right?
Yeah.
See, he's in St. Louis area.
Yep. Well, in fact, I think it was your YouTube channel that kind of got him in touch with with me. Somehow then he was watching me on Facebook, and I had posted I was going to do this first Lizzie's Walk of Faith ride.
Right.
Now the blue, he says, hey, I'll do that with you.
Yes.
And I said, okay. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but we met in Kansas City and did this ride.
Yes. And so, then that kind of translated eventually to a full ride of the Katy Trail.
Yep.
Which started on the west side, finished on the east side.
Yep.
So where did you want to start?
Well, that ride was in October of 2020.
October of 2020. Okay.
October 10th through 15th. But I think... I was going to, for folks who don't know a ton about it, I had a couple little tidbits about the Katy Trail State Park.
Yeah, let's do that.
So sometime around, it was 95, 97-ish is when it became part of the state park system. It used to be the Missouri-Kansas-Texas railroad bed.
Yes.
And there are pictures that to us at our age seem relatively recently, but you can find pictures of when it still had the tracks. Around in the 80s, before they started taking the tracks up and stuff, but it says 237 miles.
Okay,
is from end to end right now, from Clinton in the west to Mockins in the east.
Yes,
and on the eastern terminus, you know, I think it's important to say that it's kind of neat because it's not far from the Mississippi River.
Right,
and you know, it's basically 3 miles when you get to Mockins, and it ends kind of abruptly. You know,
yeah,
you
it does.
It's like the scratching of the record and the music stops.
Yeah, it's basically like there's this, you know, sort of the trailhead is there, but there's nothing else. I mean, you kind of stop in the middle of a field almost, is what it kind of feels like.
Yeah, but scarcely a place to even lean your bike against anything.
Right.
But there's a little trail, like a little path that goes out to a road, and 3 miles later, you can zigzag a little bit and be at Portage des Sioux, which is right along the Mississippi River. There's a shrine there a lot of people like to see. It's right on the edge of the water. And so you can, you know, you can kind of go out there and stick your bike in the water of the Mississippi when you're done if you want to.
There you go. It is important to note that in Mockins, there is a bell. So when you finish, we rang the bell when we finished that ride. And there's a bell there to, I guess if you start there, you could ring the bell as your start. But I don't remember seeing that at the beginning.
I don't either. No.
Or in the Clinton side. So I think we picked it right because then we finished, we got to ring it.
I had forgotten about that. It's not a dinner bell. Nobody brought any goodies.
That's right.
So
exactly.
There are 26 trailheads. Looked this up the other day. It doesn't cost anything to be on it. Unlike some trails, you know, I mentioned the Mickelson, you gotta pay a little bit there.
Uh-huh.
And as you mentioned, at Windsor, it does intersect the Rock Island Spur, Rock Island Trail. And right. that goes, I'm not sure how far it is, about 40 miles or so. It goes into Pleasant Hill by Kansas City.
Right.
And it's supposed to kind of go on through, through past Windsor and kind of head off to the east a little. But I think they're waiting for some money to fall out of the sky or something, I guess.
Yeah, eventually I think the plan would be to have some kind of a loop. Yeah. The Rock Island will kind of go south and down through Versailles, I think, is one of the kind of the locations. But anyway, kind of come around and then connect back up somewhere to the Katy again to be able to have some kind of a loop on the Rock Island, which would be kind of nice.
It would be nice.
But again, funding is an issue. How was the original Katy Trail paid for?
There were some donated funds. Ted Jones.
Yeah.
Gave a ton of money.
Yeah.
And he and his wife were pretty, pretty crucial to that.
That's what I was thinking.
Little tidbit too. When I bought Gertie out at REI in St. Louis, the guy that kind of did the fitting for me, which I can remember his name. He was a good fella. He's a big cyclist and he was really involved in that period of time too. So he knew Ted Jones and his wife and, had lots of cool things to say about the process of kind of getting the Katy Trail State Park going.
It really is a valuable asset to Missouri. And I know a lot of you out there, if you haven't ridden it, would have, thought about riding the Katy. And we certainly encourage it. We think it's a beautiful trail. We say all the time how much we take it for granted. It's right in our back door of Columbia. We're literally just like, 5 miles or something from it.
Yeah.
We have a connector from... with the MKT, which is another rail bed that connected out to that area that connects us to it. And it's such a luxury to have it in our back door. The problem is we ride it so much that we're kind of like, I'm kind of bored with the Katy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But it's such a fantastic piece of trail.
It is. It's world class. Really is.
It really is.
Yeah. And the spur you mentioned, it's about 9 miles. There's one... I mean, I don't know if it's kind of a spur, but part of it's on a road. You can get into Herman, Missouri that way, kind of one of the winery towns.
Yeah.
A couple other brief, small little spurs that I saw around, like in the St. Louis area, that take you into some other little site. I think Columbia's far enough off that trail that probably didn't get as much traffic, but, it's just too bad. There's cool stuff to see in Columbia, but it's just far enough away.
Yeah, I would agree.
That it's a little bit of a hassle for folks.
The most sizable communities are St. Charles comes to mind as the biggest, I'd say, because you do ride right through St. Charles there, which is a really big community. And you're right there next to the old downtown area of St. Charles, which is very popular.
Yeah.
And that's very close to St. Louis for those who don't know. And there's a ton of really like restaurants, coffee shops, shopping.
Yeah.
It's really a kind of a destination for people in the area to come and hang out. Other big communities, I guess Jefferson City is somewhat close, but again, it's kind of like Columbia. It's a little bit, you got to get across the bridge and the river to get into Jeff City. Columbia is, like you said, about 9 miles. I don't know how far it is from the Jeff City trailhead into town.
Probably three or four miles,
maybe.
I think it's about 2.5 or 3 miles.
That's what I would think, three miles. Other than that, it's mostly small communities, small towns, small communities. Clinton would be the other town that's not of any size, 7,000 or 8,000 people in Clinton, I'd say.
Well, it does go through Boonville, but it's not, you got to work a little bit to get in there. But,
yeah. And Boonville's probably maybe same size, something like that.
Sedalia, I guess we'd mention Sedalia.
Sedalia would be another one. Yeah. But those are all relatively small. But yeah, it was such a great ride. How many days did we do it in? 4 days?
Three or four days? 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It was six.
6 days. I couldn't even remember.
A couple short days, The first day we drove out there.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a full day.
So we had somebody drop us off in Clinton.
Clinton, yep.
And one of the reasons that we kind of took it easy also was because we had some riders who needed to pace themselves. Mm-hmm. We weren't talking about 100-mile days by any means.
Right. But, you're carrying stuff.
Yeah. We were carrying all our gear. We planned
big
to
tires,
camp the whole time.
Wide tires, just rolling resistance. And Yeah. You never know what you're going to get into, if it's going to rain, if it recently rained.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we kind of left. Everyone met, like, in my house, right?
And yes.
Caleb, my middle son, drove us, and he got a little bit of an education listening to Bill talk.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So,
Bill Branson.
Yeah. He's a legend.
Legend.
So, and I was on the 10th, and we got to Clinton, and then we rode to Sedalia to the fairgrounds.
Yes. So if you've listened to any of the episodes, this was the time that I learned that I had not kept up with the maintenance and the sealant on my tubeless tires. Yeah. And by the time we got to Sedalia, I had a flat tire. I pumped it up to try to find the leak. I couldn't find a leak. I was like, oh, I don't see a leak. Like, I don't see sealant coming out anywhere. So I pumped it up, rode about 2 miles. We got to the fairground, mm-hmm. and found out it was flat again by the time I got to the fairground. It was like a slow leak or something. And that was when I found out, oh, I haven't put any sealant in my tires in a while, and it actually dries up. But Miguel actually had extra small bottle of sealant, and I was able to put some sealant in it, and boom, problem solved.
Yep. Yep. Love tubeless.
So fairgrounds was a really pretty cool place, though, to camp, I thought. Yeah. And there may be other, I know there are probably other areas, but they had pretty nice, like, facility there as far mm-hmm. as there was bathrooms and a shower and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and it's big fairgrounds.
It's huge.
State fairgrounds. Yeah. If you remember, when we were camping, we had to, four clowns, we put up our tents, and then we had to move them.
Yes.
Because it wasn't really clearly marked where the tents were supposed to be. If That's you got an true. RV, you know where to go.
Yeah.
So we had to move. And
yeah.
We were the first to arrive, right? After that, folks kind of trickled in the rest of the afternoon.
Yes. So. I remember us picking our fully set up tents up and just kind of carrying them across the fairgrounds to get them over to the location where we needed to leave them. But there was water and everything there mm-hmm. at those campsites, and then we were real close to a bathroom at that point.
Yeah, shower. I think it was a shower.
And shower, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the cost. I think there was a cost, yeah. And there was a guy going around collecting the fee.
Yeah,
driving around a pickup truck, but I have no idea what it was—10 or 12 or $14, something like that.
Yeah, I really don't remember.
And that's been a few years ago, so maybe it's changed now. But
yeah, well, and that day was 37.2 miles.
Basically. Yeah, it was because by the time we drove there, dropped off, mm-hmm. picked up our, got our bikes unloaded and all the gear on them, because we had to basically disassemble them to fit them all in the pickup truck.
Yeah, yeah. I think we rode for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I have 9.1 miles per hour is our average.
Wow. You have some good statistics.
Oh, yeah. I did my homework.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
That's a pretty boring ride.
Yeah, it's not a lot of...
From Clinton to Sedalia, there's really not a lot to see.
Yeah.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. When I think about sections of the trail that are interesting, that's not one that comes to mind as being particularly interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was fun, though. I mean, that was like, we got ourselves warmed up. Everybody got their bikes kind of set up and mm-hmm. loosened up. And we really, by the time we got there, we weren't by any means early to the campground. Yeah. I remember that we kind of unloaded, we set up everything, then we got back on the bike and we rode over to like Pizza Hut, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I think it was a Mazio's.
Mazio's. That's what it was. Yeah.
Because we were starving. And, Miguel was eating a vegetarian diet.
Right.
And so basically he was, we thought about going to a barbecue place, which would not have been kind to Miguel. So we went there and he was able to have some, he just had some cheese pizza, and cheese sticks or whatever. So,
yeah.
But yeah. I think that was the day, or was it, that you, that was the next leg where you ended up seeing a cow.
It was the next leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can talk about that day next, I suppose.
Yeah.
We went from Sedalia to New Franklin, 42 miles, 4 hours. It was 10 and a half miles an hour.
Yes. And we stayed at Wagon,
Katie Roundhouse.
Katie Roundhouse. Not Wagon Wheel. Katie Roundhouse. That's it. Yep. That's a pretty nice little campground, but it's generally unmanaged. Let's call it that. There's not usually anybody there to kind of like oversee anything. So it's sort of an honor system a lot of times where you go into this little office that's kind of on the end of the main building there, and you fill out the piece of paper and drop your money in a little envelope, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
But it does have bathrooms and
a shower
and a place to build a fire, like fire rings and stuff like that.
One tip though, when you're if you're planning a trip there and you're going to stay there, you probably ought to call them, give yourself a couple days in advance to make sure you do get a hold of someone.
Yeah.
And get the key code to get in the shower house.
Yes.
Sometimes the door doesn't shut all the way and you can get in there. But if someone closes it, you need to get a key code to get in.
And there's no easy way to get that without talking to a human being. It's not like they mm-hmm. post it anywhere in the, you know, main mm-hmm. office or anything. You're just kind of out of luck if you don't have that code.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Now, there are some folks, generally there's somebody in the other section in an RV or something, but, you know, may or may not be.
There were some people there when we got mm-hmm. there. I know we actually rented a couple of spots mm-hmm. next to each other so that we could have room to spread out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was good.
They also, I've been out there recently too, and they, I guess at the busier times of year, they'll have some firewood cut and stacked that you can, again, the honor system, give them some cash. I forget how much. And
yeah.
You can take some back to your campsite if you want to. But we foraged around past, you know, just to make some little fire there. But really, and that's the day, though, that you were following the legendary cow.
Yes.
Pilot Grove. Around Pilot Grove.
Yeah, there was a cow, and he was just walking down the trail.
Mm-hmm.
You actually sent that photo to me the other day.
Yep.
It's a picture of me riding, and this cow is in front of us. And I mean, I don't know. I guess he got out of the pasture. He was on the trail, and he didn't want to hassle us. So as we were riding toward him, he was trotting away.
He was getting his steps in, just kind of trucking along. And he did find a place to duck off the trail there.
He did finally. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. The thing about there, though, when you're in New Franklin, at the Katie Ryan House, the only thing that you can get to reprovision yourself is up there at the top of the hill at Casey's.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a ride from that campground. Not far, but I mean, you got to go a little bit to get into town and get down to the Casey's where you can get a slice of pizza or something like that. If you don't know anything about Casey's, they have pizza. And, of course, they'll have a lot of, like, convenience store style food, but mm-hmm. microwave and things where you can heat something up if you brought it or buy it. But they don't have anything fancy, let's just say.
Yep. Yep. You might get some B&G in the morning, though. Might get
some
biscuits and gravy. But it's at the top of a big hill. It's not a trivial hill. If you're tired at the end of the day, you look at that hill and you just say, well, am I really hungry?
I know the numerous times we've ridden over there, we'd stop at Casey's and get a drink or something if it's a hot summer day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a rock or a brick wall or something mm-hmm. close to that. And we'd go sit on this wall next to the Casey's and drink. Sometimes it's a Angry Orchard or a beer or something.
Mike's.
Or Hard Mike's, Hard Lemonade or something. I remember that. I just remember that wall. We always sit on that wall and drink a beverage.
Yeah. Watch the pickup trucks go by.
And one time we actually rode over there and stayed at the Katie Roundhouse and made steak.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We actually loaded steak on the bikes, rode all the way out there, cooked a steak out there and camped overnight. There's a video about that if anybody wants to watch a little adventure. But we rode over there, cooked some steak, spent the night, and got up the next day and rode back.
Yeah, good stuff. So day three was a bit longer from New Franklin to Hartsburg. We rode 53 miles or so.
Now, there's a story to this one.
Yeah.
Because we got to the Hindman Junction, which mm-hmm. is right where the MKT connects to the Katy. It's the spur into Columbia. Mm-hmm. Bill Branson was about to die of starvation.
Yeah.
And we didn't know if we'd be able to get food or make it. He didn't know if he'd be able to make it all the way to Hartsburg. So we wound up riding into Columbia, which is a few extra miles, Bill. And went to Flat Branch.
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
We ate a big meal, drank beer, and everything else at Flat Branch and then rode back out to the Katy.
I forgot about that.
And then went on our merry way to Hartsburg.
Yeah, yeah.
We stopped in at Cooper's Landing,
mm-hmm.
and we sat out on the benches there at Cooper's and drank some beverages and watched the river.
Yep.
And by the time we got to Hartsburg, it was almost dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were setting up tents just almost in the dark, basically.
For a 53-mile
right.
leg, we sure did. We sure did take a long time.
We did. Now, the interesting thing about this is Cooper's Landing does have camping available, but we decided to get a few more miles in and go to mm-hmm. Hartsburg. So Hartsburg is interesting because you get free camping in this little public park in the little downtown area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there is, and depending on the year and the economy, there's yes. something open in town.
Yes.
You know, there's yes. always the Hitch and Post bar, which you can get a frozen pizza, drinks, and popcorn or chips.
Right.
If it's open. I think they open at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Now, sometimes there's a restaurant there. It might be open. This time, when we got there, they weren't open. And we were counting on having breakfast the next day
mm-hmm.
at Dottie's or something. Dottie's
yes.
Cafe.
Yes.
But Dottie wasn't always open.
Yes. And, particularly, that was kind of the COVID era.
Yeah.
During that time, too. But what was hysterical about it was that Wild Bill Branson had Dottie's phone number stored on his cell phone. And she had told Bill that if you ever need anything or need me to come in, just call this. So there was a nice joke with Bill about him having, you know, Dottie's cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
But he called Dottie that night. And by golly, she's like, yeah, I'll come in and open up for you guys in the morning for breakfast. Such a sweet lady.
Man, she was just wonderful.
And the food was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the food was incredible. And I'm also sure that we were so hungry, we would have eaten just about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point, you know, that morning. But I remember that was a delicious breakfast.
Yeah.
And we got video and stuff of Dottie. And it's in the YouTube videos too. But man, such a good time giving Bill a hard time about the fact that he had Dottie's number saved in his...
Yeah.
In his phone. You can imagine all the fun banter that happened over that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's lots of, let's just say Bill provides lots of opportunity to have colorful conversations.
Yes. Yes. We have, I mean, we're going to have fun no matter what we do, but with those guys, we really had a blast.
Yeah. 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 That's good stuff. Really was. So then the next day on the 13th, day number 4, we went from Hartsburg to Herman.
Right. Well, so we stayed in the Herman City Park.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So another fun fact, Herman City Park, you do have to ride from, it's McKittrick, right? That the trailhead?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
McKittrick mm-hmm. is the trailhead, but you have to ride across the bridge and we had to ride through Herman a little ways to mm-hmm. get to the city park, but they actually let you camp in the city park
yep.
and they had, you know, facilities there and a pavilion. We camped right next to this mm-hmm. giant pavilion so we could plug in things and
yeah.
had a place to sit down and eat at a picnic table, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a neat place. I've stayed there a couple times. A couple times by myself. I went to a little pavilion in the past and just pitched my hammock up. And I just, one day I decided I was going to ride out there and camp and ride back. It's a long 2 days because
yeah.
from my house it's about 85 miles.
Yeah, that's a long ride.
That's a real commitment. One time I went out there, it was during one of the floods. And like much of that park was underwater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I can't remember what I ended up doing.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive, the amount of water that can, because it's kind of like a bowl.
Yeah.
And it was full.
So. I don't have a lot of recollection of what we ate that night. I think we went into town.
Yeah, I remember more the next day.
I do too. The morning more than anything because we had coffee at this little place in the mm-hmm. there in Herman. If you're not familiar with Herman, Herman's a river town. Obviously, all this stuff is pretty close to the river because the Katy Trail kind of tends to track the river for much of it.
Yeah.
But Herman's got a lot of wineries and breweries and
distilleries
and a great Oktoberfest there.
Yep.
And what's memorable about that morning is we started at the coffee shop. We were talking to the lady who owned the coffee shop about we'd like to see about getting some bourbon. Some whiskey or something, wasn't it? And she's like, "Oh, I know the person that owns that distillery. I bet I could call them and get you guys in there this morning." Sure enough, she called, and this is at like we're talking eight o'clock in the morning. Yeah. We go down to this whiskey distillery, or I can't remember if it was whiskey or bourbon.
Well, they make a little bit of both, and it was Fernway Distillery.
Yeah.
They make several things.
And they poured tastings for us. Like, we're talking, they were generous.
Yeah.
Four or five different types of whiskey and bourbons and all kinds of stuff. And here we are at 8 o'clock in the morning doing a whiskey tasting in downtown Herman, Missouri.
And I think part of it started because, if you remember, they used to make a wheat whiskey.
Yes.
That I wanted another bottle of. And I was like, well, that's too bad. I can't do that. And then this sort of led to this whole conversation. And they still didn't have any, but I think Bill and I each bought something else. Anyway. Yeah,
you guys were both buying some bottles.
That was great. Yeah, that was kind of memorable.
I really think that starting at about Boonville for me, which, by the way, is kind of between Sedalia and
Columbia,
basically. Yeah. About Boonville is where the trail really begins to become beautiful to me. And I think that's largely because of the river and the river bluffs and the things that you start to encounter when you kind of hit Boonville.
Yep.
Then you're really kind of starting to hit that river section. And to me, it's just beautiful from there almost all the way to Mawkins. Definitely all the way to St. Charles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Because even if it's not, there's just the hilly stuff there around Weldon Spring. And It's real pretty then.
And this was the fall, you know, so the leaves were starting to turn a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was pretty.
Yeah, we had good weather too.
Beautiful weather.
Did have a cold morning when we left Hartsburg that
day. We did. Yeah, it was chilly.
That was rough.
Yeah, we got up and had that breakfast with Dottie and took off to Herman and spent the night there and then got up and had this whiskey tasting. It was just a great time. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, I'm sure the listeners can imagine the stories and the funny things that we, you know, we had going on after that conversation.
Yeah. I think Miguel was a little worried about us.
Yeah, he's trying to figure us out. He's the Bill knows us a little bit. He had known us at that point a little bit, but Miguel he didn't really know us at all other than the videos and. That he had watched and he definitely probably didn't know what to think with all the banter that was going on.
And the 8 a.m. whiskey and the whole bit.
Right.
Yeah. So when we woke and got our fill of breakfast and bourbon, that's day five. And then it was almost 41 miles to Klondike Park in Augusta.
Yes.
Which is another winery town.
The most memorable thing that I have about getting to Augusta and getting to Klondike Park was there was this hill
that
we had to bike or push. It was steep to get into off of the trail to get into this park.
It had switchbacks, right?
Switchbacks, it was whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite a feat to ride that, especially at the end of the day.
End of the day, fully laden.
Yeah, loaded up. To ride up this crazy hill to get to this park. And we looked at one spot and then we wound up moving to a different spot that we liked a little better after that. But that was a nice park though.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah. And I think there's a whole network of trails. We were a little too tired to explore much of that.
Yeah.
But it was getting dark because we futzed around all damn morning at Herman. And I think we were getting a little tired. I think, you know, I remember it's also the time that I think we introduced Bill to the Sour Patch Kids as a source of fuel.
Yes. So, yeah, Bill.
He got a little hypoglycemic.
He's hypoglycemic a little bit. He's got the metabolism of a hummingbird. That's what I always joke about with him. He would have to eat fairly regularly. And I had this thing that I always kind of do. I used to always take a pack of Sour Patch Kids with me. And like when I started to feel like I was going to bonk, I'd pop a couple Sour Patch Kids. And what I liked about it was is that it's got sugar, but the sour sort of offsets it. It doesn't make you feel nauseous as much when you eat them, like super sweet, sugary stuff like Gatorade or whatever. And it became this running joke with Bill. In the beginning, he kind of made fun of me for the Sour Patch Kids. And then I got him to try it. And he was like, you know what? That actually kind of works. He was a believer then.
Yeah.
And I think he still continues that tradition now. Occasionally he'll post something about it and tag me or show me a photo of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I just remember that date seemed to be a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
Seems like.
Yeah. There really wasn't much around there to, as far as a place to stop and like get food. We wound up having to cook or bring any food we needed with us, I think, into the park, if I remember right, because there wasn't anything really around there.
Yeah. There wasn't much there. So, and then then the last day was on the 15th, you know, from Klondike Park to Mockins, you know, then you go past, that's when you go past St. Charles. And
how far was that, was the day from Herman to Augusta? What was the distance?
That was 40.8
okay.
miles.
And then the last day was how many miles?
38.2.
And we stopped in St. Charles, and I think we ate lunch there in St. Charles that day and just kind of leisurely made our way on out to Mockins. And then we had, you know, somebody come pick us up, which was great.
Yeah, your son picked us up.
Yeah.
Same truck. He took the white truck and picked us up.
Yep. My youngest son came and picked us up, and we scurried back then and got everybody on their way.
Yeah. You know, logistically, it's kind of a weird little trip then because, you know, Columbia's about in the middle of the state. And it's pretty much halfway to either end of the trail, almost, you know.
Yes.
Because the way it zigs and zags, and then, you know, you pretty much, if you're going to have someone drive you out to one side and pick you up on the other, Columbia works pretty well for that. But then, you know, Miguel had to drive back to St. Louis after that.
Yeah, he actually had somebody pick him up.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Maybe it was his, I don't know. Anyway, someone picked him up, I think I remember, out there. But it's probably a good thing to talk about with people who are thinking about doing this trail. Logistically, how do you execute it if you're driving in? There are a few options. Mm-hmm. So if you catch it just right, you can sometimes get an Amtrak train, right?
Yep.
To throw your bike
Jeff
on.
City or something.
Well, you could get on one in St. Louis,
I guess. Yeah.
And then take it all the way to,
I think it goes to Sedalia.
Sedalia.
That's how far it goes?
Sedalia. You'd have to ride down to Clinton and then turn around and ride back if you really wanted to do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But I think Sedalia is the closest place you'd get dropped off.
Yep.
The other option is you get to St. Louis, St. Charles area. There are a few companies that, depending on times of year and such, and it's not necessarily cheap, but they'll drive you all the way from St. Charles to Clinton, drop you off, and then you can ride back and leave your car somewhere in that St. Charles area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know of any other ways?
No, no, not unless you got somebody with sucker written on their forehead and they got a truck.
Right. Yeah. And Clinton's one of those towns that's not really big enough to have like a place to get a rental car or drop a rental car off or anything like that. That's probably the greatest challenge is figuring out how do I execute riding the Katy Trail and logistically get back to my car. I know that some people will just park in St. Louis. They ride all the way to Clinton and turn around and ride it all the way back. Some people do that, but that's a pretty big commitment.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm sort of wired against going there and back for long trips. I'll do it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You kind of wish there was a loop then. You know?
Yes.
So.
Yes. There aren't always a lot of good options, but the Katy's, I mean, it's a fantastic trail. It's usually in good shape. It's fair to say that they do have closures. Mm-hmm. Being next to the river means that you are going to have at times washouts. We've had some years where there have been some pretty serious floods that have completely washed out bridges and on the trail. And so you do have to, sometimes you have detours to make and sometimes it takes them a while to repair them because of funding, crew, timing, all those things.
Yeah. And just access. I mean, you got to wait till the water recedes.
Right.
And I looked this up, actually. There were some, you know, the big flood, the real famous one was 93.
Right.
There was also some flooding in 95. And then the one that I seemed to, you know, then I was riding more, 2019 had pretty major flooding. And that's one that I really think about as having destroyed a big part of the trail.
Yeah.
You know, the bridges, and there was a big rock slide.
Yeah, rock slide, right?
It took them years to clean that up.
And that was, where was that around?
Not far from Portland.
Portland, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was huge. That was just really devastating. And, you know, fortunately, there were pretty easy detours to make. But
yeah.
Yeah. It was,
as far as the sites you'll see a lot of beautiful farmland and country, trees. Most, I'd say a large part of the trail is tree covered. Not always. There are parts that are in the farmland areas that is wide open, but there are a lot of trees that cover the trail, and a lot of it, you'll see a lot of beautiful river bluffs.
Yeah. The bluffs are amazing.
You'll see, obviously you'll be tracking along the Missouri River for a large portion of it. You'll see some train tunnels. Mm-hmm. There's at least one train tunnel in Roachport.
Yep. Yeah. This is that little, like a it's really more of a culvert there,
tunnel.
McKittrick there.
Yeah, yeah. McKittrick has this like culvert tunnel. You'll come back, you'll go past some wineries along the way. So when you get around that Augusta area
Dutzow.
That's what I'm trying to think of. In that Dutzow area, there's a lot of wineries that are right there on the trail, so you can pull off and have some snacks, food, wine, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we talked about St. Charles. I don't know if you can think of any like scenic areas outside of those things.
No. You know, you can get into Herman. You can get into Washington, which also has some wineries. Those are, in my mind, those are kind of the major ones that stick out.
Yeah, a lot of bridges, rail bridges and wooden bridges, things some like that, over different creeks and channels. You'll see just interesting things along the way. Yeah. There's the boat Stonehenge thing that's kind of like around the Cooper's area there. And rustic. It's definitely rustic in most of the area. You'll experience, as far as the trail itself, is mostly limestone. It's pretty usually pretty fine limestone, fairly packed, easy to ride with. Many people riding it, even with kind of road bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it's probably best on a trail bike of some sort, gravel bike. Yeah. I don't know. You can ride it on about anything, though.
Yeah, sometimes I've heard people talk. I've not had this problem, but I have heard people kind of talk about out by Mockins and maybe a little bit west of there before you get to the end. There's some, I don't know what they are, little thorns that end up being there and really can do some numbers on the tires.
I remember that too. Yeah, you do have the opportunity to have a flat tire.
Goat heads or something like that, what they call them?
Yeah, I can't remember what was out there, but I remember Brad Eifert talking about it.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're on a you know, tube tire that's thin, you probably want to take a couple extra tubes or patch kit.
One of the things that comes to mind too is that they've done really well with the Katy is having the trailheads at so many locations, and many of them have water, even available drinking water. And then you'll see a lot of bathroom, restroom style stops. Some of them have water, some of them are more kind of the outhouse style. It's a variety, but a lot of them have benches and covering so you can get out of the sun if it's a hot summer day and sit in the shade.
The trail map. They get the mileage chart there.
Yeah, they'll have a map on there with a mileage chart telling you how far it is to your next stop.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need to be mindful of places you can get food and stuff because you can't always.
It's seasonal.
Yeah, in a lot of these towns, it's seasonal. And a lot of these towns don't have anything outside of maybe a convenience store. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a catch-22 on whether or not some of the stuff's open, depending on the area.
Yeah, and things can happen to you know, slow you down. You might miss closing time by 20 minutes or something.
Right, yeah, because they're not open always late or anything like that. So it's a great trail, though. Heck, man, we're so lucky to have it so close.
For sure, yeah.
And we ride it, you know, we ride it all the time.
Yeah, and, well, it just, because of that, it seems like there are communities and bike shops and groups and clubs that just kind of have a matter of pride involved, you know?
Yeah.
Because like I said, the mileage charts are great, and you'll see some of these stops, they have the bike repair stations. you know, with the pumps and different things.
Yeah, they'll have air pumps and a few tools that are kind of wired to them so that you can use them but not run off with them.
Yep. Yeah, it's well done. It really is.
So. That's great. That's great. Well, if you've been thinking about riding the Katy Trail, we would certainly encourage you to do it. If we can be of any help, feel free to ask questions or comments or anything like that. Was there anything else that wanted to talk about with that?
I don't think so.
It's probably good for this episode. We're almost 40 minutes in, but that's a real good highlight. These are obviously not the only places you can stop and camp. There are other places in camping and rest areas. It's just what we decided to do with the crew we had. We kind of lengthened out the trip to make it an easygoing trip. It was an introduction to bikepacking for some of these folks. Like, I'm not sure Miguel had ever truly bikepacked, but I think he had a great time. I remember the first night we were joking about him setting his tent up because it was the first time he'd ever assembled the tent he had. Mm-hmm. We had some fun with that. But by the end of it, he was a seasoned pro.
Yeah. You know, he packed some stuff that no one else thought to pack, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
he like sealant.
Seemed to have a just like a gadget for everything.
Yeah, you know? He did.
That was good.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is a great trip, though. I really had a good time getting to know those guys better. And we, you know, we did the full Katy. We made videos on all of it and broke down the days. They're on the YouTube channel if anybody wants to see it. And, yeah, I think that's good. We appreciate you listening. If you have an opportunity, leave us a review on your podcast player of choice. Positive reviews really do help the channel and help it get out there. But Spotify, I continue to promote that Spotify has the ability just to leave comments and feedback outside of the review process, which is unique that I haven't seen on any other podcast player. So if you have questions or comments, feel free to leave something there on Spotify. And until next time, we will see you later.